Morning. The topic of my talk is on Eli. How many of you listened to Paul Harvey back in the day when he was alive and on the radio? I expect a little bit more, but he often brought the news of the day, and back in 1965, he gave an exhortation or talk about if I were Satan. And I thought that it applies very much to what we are experiencing today. So I have on here in the voice of Paul Harvey the audio clip that he read back in the day.
If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. Satan forfeits its population. I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Me. So I set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the church first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers with the wisdom of the serpent.
Can you guys hear that okay? All right.
You whispered to Eve, would you please? To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull or non-interesting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn consumed. With promises of higher ratings, had mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and mental detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the of Congress. In his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of egg and the symbol of Christmas a model. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states gambling as they way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases. No cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Drinking coffee every day.
My apologies. Hopefully you didn't get lured to sleep by the overtone there. Now you know the rest of the story. A lot of this I felt was very, very spot on with what we are experiencing, like I said today. How, seems like the devil has had his way with enticing people, letting them give in to their own desires instead of serving God. I will tranquilize the rest with pills. How many of us in society have medications that we really do need, but there are some people that are taking things that they don't need. Rodney Atkins is a country singer who is known for writing or singing the song of Watching You. I'd like to read the lyrics here real quick. Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a happy meal in his booster seat. Knowing that he couldn't have his toy till his nuggets were gone. And no, I'm not going to sing it, though. As I'm reading it, I kind of have it going in my head. Green light, green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, then my four-year-old said a four-letter word. It started with S and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where did you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, aren't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do. So I've been watching you. We got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me to help my stupid self. Then this side of the bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight, he crawled out of his bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his eyes and folded his hands. And spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you. And eat all my food and grow as tall as you. We like fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, aren't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do. So I've been watching you with tears in my eyes. I wrapped him in a hug. Said, my little bear is growing up. And he said, but when I am big, I'll still know what to do. Because I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you. And eat all my food and grow just as tall as you are. By then, I'll be as strong as Superman, we'll be just alike. Hey, won't we, Dad? When I can do everything you can, because I've been watching you. I didn't think I would get emotional reading that. Those of us who have been fathers, or who are fathers, we can relate with watching our kids grow up. And at times, they repeat just the same things that we do. And they're not the best things for them to repeat. Isn't it awesome, though, when you get to hear them say a prayer and you can hear their passion in their hearts? Because they truly know that they are communicating with a higher being. That is what brings you joy, to know that they are following the Lord. According to American Church in Crisis, if a father does not go to church, no matter how regular the mother is in her religious practices, only one child in 50 will be a regular churchgoer. As fathers, we all want what's best for our children. I remember when I was a kid, My dad would have a mattress on the floor in my brother's room, and we would run at my dad and take as fast a run as we could get. And we would try to, I think, take a football or something and make it past Dad. And oftentimes, Dad was faster back then, so he could get us and slam us down on the mattress. It wasn't violent by any means. I know that sounded kind of bad. But it was the rough and tumble kind of things that Dad liked, and dads like to do with their sons and their daughters. They love being physical and trying to show their kids the love they have for them. Now my son just somersaults from bed to bed and is rather unusual. I'm like, I could never somersault, so that's impressive. Included for their future living in America, fathers play rough with their kids, but they teach them also how to be good sports. If you lose, it's okay. You don't always have to be selfish and think you have to win at everything. Children learn about responsibility, achievement, assertiveness, and independence best from their fathers. A father has the authority and ability to discipline their sons that women don't necessarily have. I remember when I was growing up, my mom used to always say, wait until your dad gets home. There was truth behind that. At work, management tries to help people stay safe, presumably, by reminding us to not become complacent. If you become complacent, then you're more prone to not be aware of what's going on, and you can lose a finger or have another body part that gets injured, especially if you're in a dangerous work environment. Do we become complacent as parents? Do we become complacent as Christians? Each and every one of us should answer yes. There are times where we all become complacent. Family Circle magazine did a survey back in 2008 and found 90% of fathers found that being a father was actually rewarding and enjoyed being a role model for their children. New studies show loneliness, though. Collapse of fatherhood may be behind the U.S. Christian church crisis. The Communo Nationwide study on faith and relationships noted that a decline in Christian churches in the United States over the past 40 years and concluded that the collapse of marriage and decline of resident fatherhood could be the biggest causes to this decline. Currently in the U.S., less than 50% of the U.S. adults under 30 grew up with married parents. Yet the study found that 80% of churchgoers across all age groups grew up in homes with continuously married biological parents. Fathers are not meeting expectations of being there for their children, as less and less guys don't see the importance of being there for their families. Now I want to turn to a man, like I mentioned before, Eli, who was an example of a man who struggled as being a father. Eli was a priest who seemed like a good man. One day he saw Hannah, and Hannah was fervently praying. Well, she was making motions with her mouth like she was in great distress. And Eli, we know, took that as her being drunk. So he goes up to her and he's like, "Woman, do away with this. Don't be drinking like this." And Hannah says, "My Lord, no, I'm not drunk." But instead she was doing what? She was praying. Why was she praying? She was making a request to God because she was childless, right? And she really wanted to have a child. But before this prayer, her womb was closed. And when Eli saw this, he said, "May the wish that you pray be granted to you." And she was able to have a child. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. This is 1 Samuel, the second chapter. But even before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the person said to him, "Let the fat be burned first, and then take whatever you want," the servant would answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." We know that God always loved the smell of the fat burning in the offerings that were offered to him. The priests were allowed to eat after the offering was made. But the fat was the part that was burned. And here they were saying, "No, we want it raw. We want the fat." Verse 22, "Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the woman who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting." Goodness, this thing really makes it small. "So he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours.' 'No, my son, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good. If one person sins against another, God may mediate for the offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them?' His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death." Eli's sons were bad people. They took what was for the Lord. And they were also known for sleeping around with women that they were not married to. Did Eli ever lay down the law? He did go and talk to them, but he did not do anything else. In fact, what did he do? He also partook of what he should not have of the fat that was supposed to be offered to God. As men, as fathers, especially with what times look to be coming, we need to be the example for our family. We need to be the example for those children who are growing up around us. They need to know how to confront the evil, to stand on righteous ground, to stand for God. And they're not going to do it with someone who is not strong in the Lord. 1 Samuel 3:13, "For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them." Eli might have messed up with being the father to his sons here, but he was an example. He was an example to Hannah's son, Samuel. We know that Hannah, when Samuel was born, was going to give Samuel over to God. He first needed to be weaned, but then she took him and presented him to Eli. Hannah truly wanted Samuel to be dedicated to God. Are we of the like mind that we truly want our children to be dedicated to God? Now a man of God came to address Eli here. Eli was not blameless for how his sons turned out. "I chose your ancestor out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your ancestor's family all the food offerings prescribed by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourself at the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel?" This man of God goes on to mention how upset God was that his sons will die on the same day and no further family line of his will be priest. It's important to remind ourselves, if we as parents aren't doing what we should be, it affects our children. We may not think they are watching, but they see more than what you think they do. That's why you have to send text messages. But then apparently they're read by other people that night, and Ginger saw my text message. They were saying, "Well, we're wrapping it up," and I text back saying, "Well, maybe I should wrap your mouth up to Taylor." And I like to joke with Taylor. I wasn't meaning that for sure. Do your best to ask for help from God, to overcome what is oppressing you, to overcome what is challenging you yourself, to be in the best example for your children. We don't want it. You don't want your bad traits and qualities passed down. Eli failed to teach his sons about God. But wait, he was a priest. You would think that his sons would have learned about God. Teach your kids. You would like to think that Eli, being a priest, would have been enough for his sons to be good men. But in 1 Samuel 2, again, we're reminded Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. They did not know the Lord. Why not? Because Eli didn't do his job. Now, Eli's in church all the time, you may think. But for Eli, God was more of an acquaintance for him. Eli didn't really love God. He just did the religious things, we can presume. He just went through the motions. How many of us just go through the motions? We're not actually here truly intent on worshiping God. Eli had just enough of God in his life to be inoculated against the real thing. We know the Philistines went up against Israel, and Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, went to battle, and they brought with them the Ark of the Covenant, thinking that the Ark of the Covenant would protect them against the Philistines. In fact, when they brought the Ark, the men all made loud noises and cheered because they thought, oh, yes, now we're safe. The Ark of the Covenant is here. God is going to protect us against the Philistines. And this, in fact, scared the Philistines, because they knew that if God was with the Israelites, they would stand no chance. But was God with the Israelites? No, he was not. Hophni and Phinehas, they both were killed that day, along with 30,000 foot soldiers. Israel, in addition, lost the ark. And when Eli heard the bad news in 1 Samuel 4:18, when he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backwards off the chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died. For he was an old man, and he was very heavy. He had led Israel for 40 years. So Eli was a fat man because he ate what he was not supposed to. Eli's pregnant daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, went into labor. In 1 Samuel 4:20, as she was dying, the woman attending her said, "Don't despair, you have given birth to a son." But she did not respond or pay attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." Let's learn from Eli and make sure we are truly loving God and being an example for our children and for those around us, that we're not just going through the motions, but that we are showing the love that we have in what we do. Our children will again be facing great evils. Remember, if I were the devil, how accurate a description of times we are in and that we are facing. Our children are going to be facing great evils. If you have neglected your responsibility as a man of your family or as a member of the body of Christ, it is at this time that we extend the gospel invitation. If you need help, God is waiting for you. And we are all here to support you and try to help you get back on the pathway for God.